welcome to another Not Just Another Business podcast, and we're excited to have you here with us. And we had planned and hoped to have Stan Farina here with us tonight, and he wasn't able to make it. He had a blow up of a computer, and we miss you, Stan. We hope that you get your new computer soon so we can welcome you onto the podcast one more time. But listen, tonight I'm excited because we have, for the first time in NJAB history, and I hope it is a privilege for our special guest who is with us, we have a female guest on tonight. And Yomar, this is James St. John, by the way, and my co-host Yomar Lopez. I'm going to allow him the great privilege of introducing our guest to us. Go ahead with it, Yomar.
Yes, we have Lorinda Shaver. And I'm excited about it, and I know we always say we're excited, but that's the whole thing. We don't want to do anything we're not excited about.
That's
and,
right.
I love Lorinda because she's one of my bestest tweeps, but not only is she a cool person to talk to on Twitter, but we've chatted it up on Skype, and she's just such a wonderful person, brilliant professional, and just a cool person to know. So someone that you definitely want to add to your Twitter stream if you want someone that's actually engaging and not a robot.
That's right. And
welcome. What you talk about.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, Lorinda. It's great to have you, and it's great to meet you.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm very thrilled and excited to be here.
She's excited too, Yomar. That's an exciting thing. We just love that word. What can I say? I mean,
we're trying to increase our rankings for that word.
That's right. That is our
system already. Yeah,
that is our keyword.
We're going to add it to our topic pages on Clout.
As like My Little Pony, right?
Yes, we're working on that one too. So if you guys see us, tweeting about My Little Pony, don't worry, we're not going weird on you. Though,
I think you're going weird on
them. Well, you can't go somewhere if you're already there, right? So.
And it's not so much weird, it's geeky and geekness, and that's Yomar and myself, we're geeks.
Indeed. I make no pretense about that.
Indeed.
You know what? I'm a little hurt, though, because, we mentioned My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake, and along the same vein, I think about Jem, but no one remembers Jem, the rock star that had an alter ego that was a mild-mannered non-rock star but almost looked the same way when she was not in her rock star form.
No, don't remember Jem at all. Sorry.
Wow.
Blank here as well. Sorry, Yomar.
You must have missed that one.
Maybe we can find her on Netflix.
I don't know if it's on there. Well, I know. All right, how about Thundercats? Come on, guys.
I do remember Thundercats.
I do as well. Yep.
I redeemed my geekness. Good.
There we go. So, Lorinda, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background, and what brings you to this part of your life.
Oh, wow. I was born,
not quite that far back.
I feel
back.
Like my timeline at Facebook just came up. My background is in television. Originally, I studied television and worked in independent production and found myself at broadcasters somehow. So in Canada, the Nickelodeon equivalent is a broadcaster called YTV. And I was a production executive for many years, creatively approving various different children's productions, and landed over at Rogers and ran some TV stations, and which was a lot of fun. And somehow found myself, I've always, since the age of little, I wanted to be in TV. But then there was this digital thing that sort of came up, right? Because when I was in university, there was no internet. World Wide Web was 95, and I graduated in 95. And so I kind of feel ripped off. I was sort of born at the wrong time, that all this stuff sort of happened, and I was studying something I wasn't really where I was meant to be. So I made this really bizarre transition from TV creative and TV producing to online.
Hey, we had to take a quick break due to some technical difficulties. Enjoy the music while you wait.
Words are
laughing because we just came through a snafu storm of technical difficulty where we were continuously being cut off and bombarded with static. Who knows what that was? What do you think it was, Yomar?
I don't know, but I sure was enjoying the silence. That was so unnatural, I know. The reason that's funny is because... It's because we wanted to make the theme of this episode, Depeche Mode, Enjoy the Silence. And then it just so happens that we were all talking to ourselves and did not realize we were disconnected.
That's right.
The beauty, the wonders of Skype.
And I went downstairs expecting my son was, you know, chatting with friends across the world like I am. And he was asleep and I woke him up.
Oh, man. So, and you were about to tell him, get off a WoW.
That's
come
right.
on.
I was about to... No, I don't scream and yell. Not usually. But I knocked on the door, said, are you online? What? I'm asleep.
Whoops.
You know, of course, he could be faking it. You know, I've done that.
That's true. Because you did tell me he likes to play World of Warcraft, didn't you?
No, he doesn't. I have some folks that I know who do. He is into Minecraft.
Ah, Minecraft's a good one. And at least with Minecraft, you don't have these crazy 4-hour long raids where you have to get together your guildies and basically cut off the world for a while.
No, it's you crazy. Just in Minecraft you just spend 4 hours building a wall.
This is true, but you could do it by yourself. So
that's what I you know, I'll say, what did you do, you know, for this 4 hours? Oh, we built a wall. Okay.
We had help doing it.
In Never Never Land.
That's called ambition.
So wait a minute, you're telling me all this time I've played Minecraft and I'm building stuff by myself, I could have had people helping me?
Absolutely.
And what I didn't like the game.
You're doing it all wrong.
That's
Yomar.
Right. Come on, Yomar. You need to engage other people in this play.
Ooh, that's James.
That was good. That was good. But what? Real quick, while we mentioned Minecraft, it's interesting about that game. It has no user manual, so it's not my fault. You just basically get dropped into the game, and they say, "Go ahead. Go ahead and do what? What am I supposed to do?" I'm a Lego block.
It doesn't have a user manual because it's still in beta.
But geez, has some sort of documentation.
Well, I think it's still being invented. Of course, I talked to my son about it tonight as we were driving home, and he said that they were supposed to release, I guess, the final version in November.
And
the company, I can't remember the name of the guy who originally started Minecraft, but the company is being sued because they're about to start working on another game that's called Scrolls, and evidently there's a game out there that has Scrolls in the name, and
oh boy,
they have been sued and they've been taken to court anyway, and it's become it's become a big debacle, which is kind of what we were going to talk about tonight.
Well, see, you can't talk about video games and not expect me to keep going off on a tangent. It's not fair.
Okay.
But, you know, the sad part about it is that Minecraft is great because it creates a sandbox environment. It's basically, you make it what you want it to be.
Absolutely.
So they don't restrict you, and you have freedom. You feel like you're in control of the whole experience. And they're also kind of like how Google started off, you know, they're all about simplicity. Being minimalized.
Definitely.
And it works.
You know, Minecraft's the only game you can set a sheep on fire and no one gets hurt.
I've really been missing out. I didn't know this.
Yeah, they actually, you know, that's the thing, is it's been progressing and they have lots of, I guess, again, I'm not a gamer, we've talked about this before, but I mean, it's cool to have kind of followed its development as I've watched my son play it, you know, to see the things that they have dreamt up, I guess would be the, anyway, it's an interesting, but let's get back to the subject at hand, won't we?
Okay, I'll leave it alone. That'll have to be a future episode, after I explore Minecraft further.
Okay.
Yeah, we got disconnected, right? So, we're trying to find out more about Lorinda, because... You know, not everyone has the pleasure of knowing her, and that's a shame. So, Lorinda.
So, fascinating, Lorinda. You shared with us that you were a television executive and, you know, determined that you had been born in the wrong, kind of in the wrong generation, and made the transition from television to digital. And I believe that's where you were when, you know, the gremlins interrupted.
Yes.
The same gremlins that steal your left socks.
That's right.
it was an interesting sort of transition to make, because when, of course, I first started, I was all cocky and said, oh, yeah, you know, like online, it's just like TV. And I'd go to, like, you know, I would do TV, I'd go to Mesh, which is a Toronto digital conference, and I'd walk in and there would not be a soul I would know. Like, nobody. I was starting from square one, and I start talking to people, and they're looking at me like I'm speaking alien language. And I was like, this is a completely different industry. Which, you know, to a normal person would probably get that. It took me a while. But I regardless of sort of the obstacles, I went henceforth, and I managed to kind of really involve myself in the culture and involve myself in really sort of understanding storytelling, essentially in a different way. And did a whole bunch of work for, you know, Rogers Digital here in Canada, and have since gone off on my own. And at this stage, I talk to so many people about personal branding and sort of having the one sentence that defines you, but why is it so hard when you do it for yourself? So the sentence I kind of came up with is, I'm a social media creative who can actually project management with true business savvy. So that's my tag.
Yeah.
So what
I like it.
Yeah. So what I found was, you know, I have a unique skill set because I work on digital properties that are attached to TV shows. Because I can walk into a broadcaster and talk TV language, but at the same breath I can turn to the developers and talk digital language. Because I've sort of bridged the gap, and that's apparently a unique skill I'm learning. So that's kind of what I pride myself in doing, to be able to bring those two worlds together and actually produce things that are correct for the platform that they're on.
Well, that's, so I guess with you, we certainly have the best of both worlds.
I guess.
Come on.
It's a lot of stories from both worlds.
I'm building you up. Of course, I know flattery does nothing, but I'm just building you up for the audience.
Well, while we're building her up, I'm particularly a fan of her video production work and doing the little video bios, because video is one medium I don't really work on as much. I need to get to that. I get a lot of people encouraging me to do that. See, I have a good presence and whatnot, which is not really my thing. I like the written word more, but I'm going to do it, and I, you know, Lorinda's going to probably be someone I'm going to suck into my projects eventually, just so you know.
Oh, tell this officially on a podcast.
That's right. You're gonna suck.
Tell me first.
He's gonna suck you into the vortex named Yomar.
You know, yes, what? I'm already sucked in. So what the hell?
And hey, if you know nothing about our podcast, is that we're very revealing in good ways. In good way. That's the operative phrase there, okay?
Yeah, I see. Yes, I didn't even talk about my work at VideoBio. I was trying to make my history short, but VideoBio is a startup based out of Toronto, but there is an office as well as New York, and we do VideoBios globally. And essentially what it is, it's either a person, so it's personal, or enterprise, wants to create a professional scripted video that they talk to camera. So this is very difficult, because essentially if you are, for example, a real estate agent and you say, you know, I want to be able to have a really slick, nice looking video where I'm talking to camera that we're actually sound intelligent, which is, you know, quite a challenge. And so what we did as sort of a process is that you're assigned a producer, so you actually get help in terms of crafting your message, so it makes sense. And then you come into studio and you have 30 minutes to communicate that message, and you're coached on your performance. And then you have professional people edit and then deliver in every possible video format you can think of. So whether you want to embed it on your site, or you want the link, or you want whatever it is you want with the video, we provide it. So it was an interesting curve for me to sort of really understand personal branding and how to take, you know, I'd have a half hour conversation with someone and I learned this really unique skill where I can condense who they are in two sentences.
You would think you would see more of this kind of stuff at a local level. I mean, this is obviously something where you want to walk in and have a set and really get that face-to-face time. So that's pretty cool. And again, I would say that you're one of those folks that is a really good, not even better, you're an exceptional judge of character. That's what I wrote in my show notes. I'm going to stick to that.
And she's come on to our show?
Whoops.
I snuck in. You guys weren't looking.
She snuck in the back door when our backs were turned.
We keep leaving that thing open, I tell you.
That's right.
See, Stan was supposed to be working the door tonight, and you know what happened there.
And he
didn't
show.
Well, you know what? The glowing neon sign really doesn't help.
That's right. Point taken.
And of course, you know we're in the southeast, so it's not the glowing neon sign. It's the point. It's the flashing arrow sign.
I see.
So, hey, Lorinda, I want you to tell everybody what your favorite word is, because I love this word, and I think it'll make our fellow geeks very happy.
Well, I actually haven't confessed this to you, Omar, but I have two favorite words.
Well, lay it on me. Okay. Lay it on us.
It's like a double scoop of ice cream.
My first favorite word is discombobulated. And do you know where I first heard that word? I first heard that word in a preschool puppet show, where one monster was telling another that he felt discombobulated.
That's great.
A preschool puppet show.
Yes.
Wow. I love puppet shows.
Oh, I have. You know what? I think they're probably one of the best things to ever work on. They are fantastic, and puppeteers in particular is what makes the puppet experience extraordinary.
They're a special kind of person, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And my favorite parts is when they yell cut. Because
that's
when the real action happens. And
yes.
Actually, my claim to fame was that I was working on a show called Groundling Marsh, and the same company was prepping to do a show called Freaky Stories. And Freaky Stories was just basically each episode, a half hour episode, had four different urban legends that were animated to different styles. And They had the main host of the show was a cockroach, and his sidekick was a maggot, and they were testing this puppet. So I walked into the executive producer's office, and I was in the middle of something, and they were testing the puppet, and the cockroach said, "Hey, Lorinda, how's it going?" I said, "Hey," and we started a conversation, and yes, I flirted with a cockroach.
Oh my!
You are a brave gal.
Yes,
I am. You would be my wife's hero.
So that's my puppet claim to fame.
Wow.
Well, see, actually, it's funny you mentioned puppet shows. We actually had meant to discuss a little bit about children media, or children's media, whatever way you want to put it. So let's talk a little bit about that. I know that excites you, and we're joking around about puppet shows, but there's just some kind of magic in that. I personally have always secretly wanted to do more like illustrated books for children and stuff. Like not only write them, but also illustrate them myself. One of my future things to do when I have that lay on the beach money, you know? One can dream.
You know, that is
absolutely.
That is so funny, Omar, because I have multiple children's books swimming around in my mind.
And yeah, see?
Involving a family of pigs.
Okay, this is when we had the intervention and said you've played a little bit too much Angry Birds.
Well, you know, I've played it once, so I...
That's all it takes. That is all it takes.
That's right. Hey, don't put down my dear little Percival and Penelope, okay?
Okay, fine.
All right.
Well, they also got that other one, Peppa Pig.
Peppa?
That's pretty popular these days.
Peppa Pig? What's that?
It's like one of those kids shows that they have now on, I think, on Noggin. We should get some sponsorship dollars for that.
That's what Yomar does in his free time, Noggin.
Who doesn't?
I can get enough of the VeggieTales. That's the particular one that I just get.
Your veggie fix, you know, you just got to get it.
And I'm eating some celery and some carrots raw while I'm watching it. scooping in some peanut butter. And I'm like, man, I love this stuff. That's how I start my day, really.
Yes, that the true Yomar now shows his colors.
Now we know why he's so into children's media.
It's important to have a good workflow, guys.
There's a kids book that I came across very recently, done by an ex-Pixar designer, that is so incredibly beautiful. And it's I saw it on an iPad, and the visuals of it is Pixar quality, and the story is like one of those things that even as you're reading an e-book, you want to cry. And
wow,
it's quite incredible, because it's called The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore. And when you see something of that high quality, and frankly, until that I've seen that, I haven't seen something of that caliber, you realize, wow, I've just seen the future of children's media.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's interesting you mentioned that. Keep going, though, because we're going to come back to that.
Yeah, no, I just in terms of the beauty of the story, because story is the core of everything, and the beauty of the visuals, and they got it right with the amount of interaction with it, which I think is also a unique skill.
Now, the interaction part, that's what I'm curious about, because... You know, I don't know if you remember these, they were popular for a while, I don't know if they still are these days, but they used to have these little interactive, you know, traditional media, you know, print books, where you would read a story, and then it would let you choose different outcomes, and you'd keep going along until, you know, you either killed off the character, or you got it to a happy ending. And it had, basically, it was like what you'd see today with a video game that has branching storyline, but in a print format. So, interactive for an ebook, what regards would you say?
So, as you go along through this tale, as an example, he arrives at this home that's filled with books, and one of the scenes of it, or I guess the pages of it, and sorry, talking TV language, it feels so much like a TV to me. And he's sitting there, and he's taking care of these books. And, you know, like he's taking, you know, the whole thing is about his love and interaction with books. And you open up a book, and with your finger, you can actually draw on the book. Like, everywhere you draw is just a black line, so you can make a happy face or a house or that kind of thing. And then if you leave it alone for 2 seconds, only the lines float away off screen, and then you can do something else on the page.
Wow, that's cool.
It's really cool. And they have this one thing where the house kind of flies through a vortex, and you take your finger and you actually circle the vortex, so you can make the house come back.
So I'm guessing this is not a PDF file.
Gosh, no. No.
That's why I wanted some elaboration on that. I said, wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and they have this thing where, you know, he eats a cereal. And then it cuts to this, like, it takes up the whole frame. It's like this bowl of milk from the top view. And all around the bowl of milk is all the letters of the alphabet, kind of in serial-like things. And you can drag those letters to create your own story in the bowl of milk.
Hmm.
It's really cool. And the thing that they get right in this app, in my opinion, is the fact that it's got the nice balance of a page that tells the story where there's only a tiny bit of interaction, to the pages where there's a lot of interaction, where you're going to take more time, because then you don't lose the story. Because at the end of the day, you're reading a book.
Yes.
Right? So you're engaging, the experience is much more engaging because you're seeing video, you're interacting with it, but you've got to, at the end of the day, the core of it, what keeps you to it, will be the ultimate of the story. So you need to be able to keep moving along.
And also those interaction opportunities are like little intermissions where you could get a break from reading and just have a little fun. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But at what point do you take a bio break?
Well, the book is not that long.
Okay. Got to be clear on all this stuff. So this is, we have a bunch of links. Eventually we're going to share them on the upcoming fan page, where we'll have show notes and different links and resources to, you know, give more value to our audience. And this is on, this interactive book is on fastcompanydesign.com. Well, actually, fastcodesign.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And again, the name is The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore. I love it.
That sounds like a headline or title I'd come up with. Exactly. <I'm with> it.
It sounds like discombobulated.
Yes. So well, there you go. I'm already sucked in. And that's interesting to note because the language in this book is like that. It's not your everyday sort of, you know, a lot of kids' books have the very sort of base language. But they have these interesting phrases that I'm sort of not, I can't think of it right now, but it's got this sense of oldness to it, using sort of larger words. But they're poetic, like they just kind of come across, and you can see your kids saying, you know, well, what's that? And then you see them, like the way I've latched onto discombobulated, I'm sure that they'll latch onto this kind of language, you know, because it's just so neat.
Well, let's turn back the page, because you had the favorite words, not favorite word, because discombobulated led to puppets, led to I don't know where.
It did, didn't it?
So what's that second word, Lorenda?
Oh, now it's totally devaluated. But my second favorite word, which has been my longest favorite word all my life, is the word spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Now, just because I love saying it. Spaghetti.
Are you one of those who, as a child, you know, pronounced it paschetti or something
probably.
Like that?
I call my sandals candles, and then my dad would say, "Look, no, they're not candles, they're sandals." And I said, "Oh, scandals."
Yeah. <That's right.
laughs> But you know, I have a fellow that I worked with on one of the shows who actually did some work on Fraggle Rock with Jim Henson.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show.
He was saying one of his favorite times that he was at the on set was when I think it was Frank Oz and Jim Henson got into this argument about the funniest sounding letter of the alphabet.
Nice.
That's the world I want to be in.
That's the kind of conversations we like to have here. Because I was just going to say, you know, spaghetti is one of those words that when you write it sometimes you say, did I spell that right? It looks funny. And speaking of Fraggle Rock, I got a quick bone to pick there. Now, what's up with those little, what's up with the Fraggles eating the little buildings that those guys build, you know, with the little edible beams or whatever they are? They're see-through. That's nice.
Right.
It's teaching the kids to vandalize.
But you know what? You have to have Lego destroyed before you build it up again.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And, I mean, I guess the Fraggles are hungry. They don't really seem to have much to eat around there.
Well, you know, puppets can get hungry.
Yes, I've heard. Yes. That's the word on the street.
It's the word on the street, yes.
And they like Legos.
Yes. I like many things, but that's for another show.
So, I guess we could talk about children's media quite a bit. So, may have to leave that for a future episode, and we'll brainstorm that together. But some interesting tangents there, and I definitely want to come back to that. And again, everyone in our audience should really come to marketinganswerman.com and share your feedback there. You know, ask some questions, answer some questions. This is the kind of stuff we're going to be looking at, as well as other people's blogs, and really just kind of mining for some good nuggets to share here on the show with everyone. But before we move on, I have a quick question I want to ask you. Since you're good at the whole, you say you're good at helping others come up with the description of themselves, but it's hard when you do it for yourself. And I think that applies to anything we do. You know, like I'm good at helping people with inbound marketing and search engine optimization and writing, but when I do my own stuff, it's like, whoa, that's crap. So I can relate to that.
Oh, I love it when people speak truth.
That's right. It's I gotta tell it how it is. But
exactly.
You know, how do you feel about biographies, little profiles, and little bios that are written in the third party or third person rather? And let me add to that, not just written in the third person, but they're written in the third person on a personal blog, like a one man or one woman show. I see James know what I'm getting at already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the answer to that is kind of obvious. You know, if your blog is meant and its purpose is to build relationships with others, the last thing you want to do is sound like you're somebody else or sounding like, you know, that you're not connecting to other people. And I think the key trick that a lot of people are not able to do is to write like they speak. And I think if you can capture that. I think if you're writing, if you're sitting down and you're reading it as if you're just having a conversation with someone, you're just listening to someone, the way you can capture someone's imagination is so much greater than if you're just, you know, doing the very straight, corporate, well-written speak. It's not engaging anyone's feelings. And I think you lose a huge opportunity for connection there.
Wow. I'm just taken back, but that's just beautiful. It's so true. You know, and everyone we've had on the show pretty much has touched upon that in some way. Right, James? I mean, we've talked about authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about eliciting a more emotional response. And a lot of times I think folks are stuck on this thing where if you're a professional, you can't have fun or you can't be a human being. And that's something I hope we could together just change little by little, one person at a time. But we need to, right?
Because we're like Dino Dogan and Triber. We want to change the world.
That's right.
Who doesn't?
I think that is certainly one thing we can all agree upon. Let me interject something here, because I know Yomar and I, it was kind of funny because at the time we had the first conversation about this, about having a third person little biographies on a personal blog. I realized that I had that on AtlantaGeorgiaMarketing.com, that my little, you know, author's note that was at the end of all of my posts, I had sat down and written it, and without even thinking about it, I had written it like a good grief, like a press release.
Yep,
and that's
yep.
ultimately what I think a lot of people, that's the way they blog, is they blog like they're writing a press release.
And it's good copy, it's just not in the right place.
Right.
You know what? You've got your school hat on, right? Like that's what you're taught in school. And that's, you know, you have to produce all this stuff, and that's the expectation. Every time you want to do it, it's got to be formal. It's got to have the right grammar. God forbid you have, like, three dots instead of a sentence, like a period. You know, you're trained this way. This is how you're supposed to be. And then all of a sudden people say to you, write like you're talking, and they look at you like you're an alien. You know, like, how do I do that? I'm like, well, write, talk, and write what you're talking.
Yeah.
And it's a skill, though. I mean, it takes a while to let go of what's been comfortable for so many years and actually be able to write in a way that's truly engaging and that captures your own voice, you know?
And not least, though, you also have the fact that if your written word or your anything you have digital, right, doesn't match with how you are offline, that sends off a bad signal. 'Cause then they figure which one of your personalities is the lie. Right?
I'm really taking my idea of wanting to clone myself a little too far.
Well, you know, it would come in handy.
That would come in handy sometimes. You know, you can send yourself to the store to pick up milk.
Oh gosh, we do that in our house so much. We need a cow in our household. That's for another. Talk about that another time.
Oh,
no, but I also believe that, you know, sometimes if you need to write a biography and it does need to be written in a third person way, you can still inject your own personality into it, because I have this this business that I'm starting up with an old acquaintance with mine, and we had to write a very short bio, and I had to write it in third person, but the way I kind of started off was saying, you know, Lorinda watched a lot of television as a child, or so her mother told her. 15 years later, as a digital and broadcast executive, she confidently claims it was simply research.
That's right.
Awesome. But see, that in that case, you're talking about a collaborative project or project.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on obviously where you put it. But I still think that people feel, you know, you have to be like, will people take me seriously? Will they, you know, you feel your credibility is at risk if you're not being super serious and saying, you know, these are the accomplishments I had, these are the successes I had, you know, and all formal. But that's not the case, you know?
I cannot stand the grocery list of credentials and accomplishments. Leave that for the conversation or for some kind of collapsible thing. mm-hmm. expandable thing rather. I don't want to see that by default. I mean, let me know what I don't know. I'm a firm believer. I'd rather work with people that have more of a value or principle alignment above all. And then we could talk about all the wonderful things you did. You know, you won a bronze medal in the Olympics, and you can leap over tall buildings and swallow fire. That's cool. Awesome.
Damn, it's like you're reading from my resume there.
Yeah, that's right.
I was, actually. I just closed it down because there's too many windows open right now.
But you know what? How I closed my thing, too? Because, like, it's always nice to have, when you're writing stories, to have a closure. And my thing is, at the end, to make it personal, I said my biggest life accomplishment, or her biggest life accomplishment, are her two little partners in crime, Jack and Kathleen, who tell her daily that their video gaming is simply research.
That's right, yes.
That's good. I love it. Is that website live yet?
Not live yet, no. It will be soon.
Well, we'll definitely have to get you back on here and plug that, because that sounds really cool.
Certainly.
But yeah, as I said, you gotta have fun, because if you're not having fun, and people want to work with people that they get along with, that they feel that they're gonna have a good time with. I mean, how many teams have you worked on where it's just so crappy, and the people are in it? Like, if you are good at what you do, you want to attract people. You know, this is all about, you know, personal blog is about connection. So you want to attract like-minded people, or people enough that you want to work with. And you want to do it in a way that you're enjoying yourself. Because, you know, I always say I'm too smart to not do what I like for a living. So, you know, you need to find a way to be able to capture that and enjoy that and, relish in it.
Love it. Love it. We could definitely talk about that more. But we won't, because we have to move on.
Notice my silence. Enjoy the silence.
And here's Yomar being disciplined. It's amazing.
Once in a while, that kicks in. I'll try not to make a habit of it.
Oh, can you believe it? That Lorinda actually flirted with a cockroach? Well, listen, we want to thank Lorinda for sharing with us this time on Not Just Another Business Podcast. And we look forward to next week continuing this conversation with Lorinda. And we want to continue this conversation with you also at marketinganswerman.com. Leave us your feedback, your suggestions, questions, and we'll be sure and include some of those in future podcasts. Listen, come back next week. In the meantime, enjoy the silence.
Enjoy the silence.